Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Lord God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come into your house. We thank you that we can worship you. We thank you we can give to you. We thank you we can celebrate the things you're doing in amongst us. We thank you that we can plan for the future. Lord God, we thank you that we have this season called Advent where we can just start getting excited. Excited about not what's coming, but what actually has come. Excited about what you did do and how that came about, but that feeling of expectation, Lord, that you spent thousands of years sowing into, that we want to replicate that. We want to replicate that so that we can get excited at what you have done, and it's not just a part of everyday life, Lord God, but there's a mark on Christmas Day that reminds us that you are awesome, that you are far above all else we could know. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you know, I was privileged to have a mum who was very good at organising things. She was very good at preparing. I think she used to say that their family motto was like, you know, the Girl Guide thing or Scout thing, be prepared. And so she actually did take that literally. But Christmas was exciting because of the preparation that went into it. And so, you know, I can really clearly remember there was a sequence of events. You know, straight after school finished, the Christmas tree went up because it was a real Christmas tree. If you put it up too early, it would die. And so we had the real Christmas tree. And it was always too big and there was always a hassle, you know, cutting off getting into the house because we had low ceilings and all of that. But, you know, you generate these things. And when that Christmas tree was up, there was the Christmas cake ready to cut. And our Christmas cake was my grandmother's recipe, which she'd got some. Apparently, I found out this year from some fancy French chef somewhere. But I didn't know about that bit. But what it meant for our family was that those ingredients were bought, I think she started back in June, July, buying the ingredients. So buying a little, you know, the glacé cherries and the ginger and the glacé other bits and pieces and the almonds that needed to go in it and the essences and all these little bits and pieces that they didn't fit in a budget. They had to be absorbed into the weekly shop. And so she started back in July buying the ingredients and they'll put aside and we were not to touch them. And then the fruit would be cut up, you know, around about October, you know, the fruit would be cut up and it'd be put into the bowl to soak with the brandy or sherry or whatever was affordable that year. And we definitely were not allowed to touch it. We were not allowed in there because everything was measured precisely and exactly that if we even had a finger creeping towards any of that glacé fruit, it was going to be chopped off. So you just didn't go there. Then in December, it would be, wrapped up in a towel and put in the linen cupboard. That's just what happened. The linen cupboard always smelt of Christmas cake. It was my sister's favourite place to hide because it smelt of Christmas cake. Then in December, she would ice it, but I remember her making the icing from scratch, like none of this ready roll buy from the shop stuff that I do, but the actual from scratch, kneading it, you know, mixing it, kneading it, kneading it, kneading it. And I remember one December it just being so hot that she just literally couldn't, like she couldn't lift it up to put on the cake because it would just flop. So there was, you know, all this planning that got to that point when the Christmas tree went up, the cake was ready to cut. But on top of that, she also would do handmade gifts. There was, you know, gifts for friends, gifts for teachers, gifts for relatives that we used to make because that was the way to give to lots of people that was affordable, because my mum was a giver. She loved giving gifts. And so she would find the way that she could make that happen to, I guess, express her heart. We would write cards, we would post them on time, which is something I don't do. I don't post them on time, I write them. It's all good. and then there was the other Christmas baking. There was the gingerbread and then making chocolates. She would make chocolates. And, you know, these things were the things that we would give away. And when those Christmas carols up, the true Christmas tree went up, the carols went on as well. And there was always a tussle between what carols we listened to, and my sister liked the really daggy ones, you know, with Santa Claus and really cringy. But that went with the angel she'd made in preschool that was also really cringy. you know, it was just one of those things. But there was this sense about Christmas that it was exciting, and it didn't matter about the fighting that had gone on. We, you know, when we got to the Christmas tree decoration, it was fun. It was really good to be in that space, and Mum would listen to the Australian Christmas carols, which, and then bring, you know, cut the Christmas bush from, you know, outside and bring that into the house. And so there was this whole sense that there was something happening. The most exciting part was when Gabriel arrived, though, and that was the morning after the tree went up. And we'd go out, we'd come out, first day of holidays, and there on the, you know, the table at the front door was this little angel. She, I never quite worked out, was blue and was holding a little choir book, and he'd wind the bass and it'd play 12 Days of Christmas. And it was, you know, one of those little tinkly little things. But that sound was so cool. And to this day, I don't know where Gabriel lived. Gabriel did just fly in, because I have no idea where Gabriel lived. It mustn't have been in the house, because we looked everywhere, but we never found it. So, you know, those things are building a story into my heart, into my life, about an expectation, something to come towards. And there were not so good jobs. There was the polishing the brass and those sorts of things that smelt. But even those things kind of held with them a sense that this was an important day. We didn't polish the brass any other time except on Christmas Day, even if we didn't actually have guests coming. That's a bit I never worked out. To be honest, Mum was stressed through all of this. She was. She always ended up in a headache on Boxing Day. And I do wish that she could have enjoyed it more. I just wish that, you know, she could have loved that, because she created for us a joy. She created for us an expectation. She poured into that time experience for us and a story. And I'm so thankful for that. Mum's not here now. And so Christmas has that sadness attached to it. Like, it just does. You know, I do miss her. And I'm not as good as her at... I'm not a giver like she was. You know, we went down for the Lloyd family Christmas yesterday, and the boys all said, okay, we're not giving gifts. And I go, okay, that's right, we're not doing gifts. But of course my sister-in-laws had done gifts for everyone, and we hadn't. I was like, but you said no gifts. I just took it on at, you know, face value. I shouldn't do that. Next time, oh my goodness. You know, but that's just one of those personality things. And so, you know, we've forgotten. We haven't done our advent calendar for 6 days now, because just keep forgetting. But I might not have that magic, but when I read this, you know, John Piper book, that, and I was reading day 15, I was comforted and encouraged, because even though I have a sadness attached to Christmas, you know, when I cut up my Christmas cake fruit, I think of Mum. I can't help it. It happens all the time. But he quoted this from John 10, verse 10. And he said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's what Jesus says. He says, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And when we read that, you know, we wonder sometimes, okay, that's why you came, Jesus. But my world is tainted by sadness. My Christmas is tainted by sadness. This Christmas is tainted by sadness in Tasmania, for goodness sake. Like, how do we understand that? How do we look at death and grief and the things that are stolen from us, the things that are killed and destroyed? Like, how do we reconcile that with a verse that says, "But I came to give life and to give it abundantly"? There are things we just don't understand. We just don't. And sometimes we blame God. I know I have done that. I know I do that. You know, that question comes. But if we question God in that space, if we say why, if we ask Him, if we blame Him, then we also need to have the courage to find out why, to listen why, to understand why from this same God that we're yelling at. And we need to hear what He says. Not to hear what other people say about Him because of what they think, but to actually hear what He says about this. Because these things, this sadness, this grief, the destruction, it's not created by God. He is not the creator of those things. They're the product of the thief. It's the thief that comes to kill. It's the thief that comes to steal and to destroy. And the thief has a voice, because that's the consequence of believing the lies he says. When we listen to those lies that he whispers, then we listen to his voice, and the consequence of listening to that is that our world is a mess. And the lie is that we doubt. We doubt that we're loved by God, because we look around us and we think God can't love if he does that. We think God can't love because children die. We think God can't love because mums die. But the truth is, God loves. And that's the great news. Like, that's the good news of great joy that we have. That's the good news that Christmas is, that reminds us. That's the good news. It's not the expectation of, you know, those bundles under the tree, you know, those little things wrapped up in Christmas paper. That's not the thing we're getting excited about, really. The real bundle of expectation is actually kind of this little baby that was wrapped up, and he was in a feed trough. He was a bundle that was life. He was a bundle that was, it was like the fullness of God all wrapped up in that little helpless, squirming thing called a baby. He was all wrapped up and ready. He'd been preparing since the creation of the world for this moment to be wrapped up and to go and lie in a cradle, in a manger, in a feed trough. And you know, the funny thing is, like, it's like all that power of God, Jesus, comes in and it's completely vulnerable. And inside of that, we don't quite know how it's going to play out. And so there's expectation. And there's wise men that come and they kind of know something's up because they got this sense. And the shepherds come and they know something's up because, you know, there's not normally angels in the sky. But they don't quite know what it all means. There's this expectation, but it's all wrapped up. But this little bundle was going to fulfill these words. Find them in John 3, verse 33. It says, those who believe him discover that God is true. For he is sent by God. He speaks God's words. For God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. That's the bundle. That's the bundle of expectation that is all wrapped up, that this little baby sent by God, that God, the words of God are in him. They're going to come out 30 years later, but they're all there. And the Spirit of God is in him. And the love of God is in him. And the intent of God is in him. All of that in this little baby that's going to come out and then die. And we look at that and our mind spins and we go, that doesn't make sense. How can death and birth and Christmas, how do we reconcile that? But it's all reconciled in this little bundle because he is full of God's love. That is God's love being poured out. Even God has to come to terms with death at Christmas and with loss at Christmas, because as soon as that baby's down there, he knows what's coming. He knows the world is going to be torn and his heart's going to break. But in that, it's also, it's the whole reason for expectation, that we can discover that God is true. Because it's when we discover that God is true that we can believe that God sent Jesus, that we can believe that Jesus was the answer to the heartbreak, and that each Christmas we have an invitation to believe and discover. Each Christmas we're reminded that there's this story out there. You know, plastered on the wall of St. Mary's Cathedral is this amazing light show. And it's the story of Jesus coming into the world. Our whole city can see it. And it's an invitation to go, will you believe this? Will you believe this is the narrative of Christmas? Will you believe this is God, and that God is real and God actually loves? Because he's the reason we can have eternal life. And Jeff talked about that in communion, but that wouldn't happen without Christmas. It wouldn't happen without that little bundle in the feed trough. And no matter how hard things are here, no matter what might happen in our world, in our past year, in our life, in anything, wrapped up in Jesus is an expectation of life that's open for anyone who believes. Because see, my mum believed. My mum believed that God was true. My mum knew the story, the narrative. She read her Bible and she believed that the God in the Bible was true and that the Jesus that came was real. And the things that that book says are right. And because of that, she was secure. She was at peace because she knew that she had life eternal. She knew that it wasn't like the sickness that she had was not going to destroy her. That was only a part of the story. That there was something beyond that point. And so she wasn't scared. She could live the temporary life and not be scared about what was coming. And so even though I still tend to cry, I can also be thankful because she held in her life the whole way through. And then in amongst that busyness of Christmas, the expectation that she built into me and the love of the season that she gave to me, she never lost sight of that bundle, the real bundle of expectation, the bundle that gave her life abundant. And more than anything else, that's what I long for people to have. That's what I long for people to get at Christmas. That's the best gift ever. Like, I long to be able to, you know, sometimes you want to speak to people that are grieving and to help them to understand that there is more, that our story is bigger, that, you know, issues that we face, that things that go on, you know, all of those things are, they're just tiny. They're really, really small. And these couple of years of COVID, it's really small. It's not the thing that defines us. No matter what political thing that might come up, all those are really small. When we can see the bigger picture, when we can grab hold of the larger story and put it into perspective, and then that life can well up within us and we can enjoy the space that we have, we can enjoy the life we have, we can be people that define the space around us as one of joy. And it all starts, it's all because of this little bundle that we believe was sent by God and spoke words of God, had the Spirit of God, and died as God and man because He loves us. And so He wrapped up that little bundle for us so that when we believe, we can have eternal life and things shift in our world. And that's the gift that I long to give to everyone. You know, I think that's why we became pastors. But you don't have to be a pastor to give that gift. You don't have to stand on a platform and you know, do a church like that. That's in every single part of our world. That's in how we create the expectation and the joy of Christmas. That's in how we love each other. That's how we actually get courage to go, this is what I believe. This is what I know. And I know that God is true. To voice that to our families, to our friends, not to be squashed by it in this season, but in those quiet little conversations, to be able to speak it out and go, you know, when you're confused by that or sad by that, I just want you to know something else. I want you to know that even though you might question God and not understand, in that very questioning of Him, how about you start believing Him? If we're going to name a being as the, you know, point the finger at Him, then let's invite people to get to know Him and discover who He really is and discover that He is a God that deeply loves us and poured everything into this little baby. So, you know, this morning I just actually want to pray for all of us. I want to pray that we can have courage, that we can have courage to share what we believe, that we can, not to Bible bash relatives, that's terrible, but actually share the depth and the heart of our God in a real and genuine way, so that this Christmas we give the best gift we can ever give, and we can give life into our families and into our friends and the people that are hurting and questioning. We can give them true life that's wrapped up in Jesus. So actually, I just want everyone to stand, and I just want to pray. Lord Jesus, we come here today, and we come to listen to the Bible, to hear what You have to say to us. We come because we have a sense of You. We've met You, or we're looking for You. We come because we want answers, we want healing. There's all sorts of reasons. We want to feel Your love, forgiveness. Lord Jesus, we stand here because we believe that You are, there's something about You. So many of us believe that You are true and that You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Jesus, we just ask this morning that You would pour into us, Holy Spirit, Your gift of life that we can give out this Christmas. Your gift of life that will flow out in every action that we have, in every word that we speak, in every song that we sing, in every person that we meet, in everything that happens in our world. Lord God, that Your love would flow out of us so that we can give the true gift of life this Christmas to everyone around us. Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord God, that Your Spirit would rest on every single person here. And as we walk out, that something would be different in every single one of us. Holy Spirit, we are Your people. We are here to be Your hands and Your feet, to carry Christmas with us every single place, to the ends of the earth. Oh God, equip us, fill us, and let us feel that love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.